If you turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. Don't lose that worship, folks. My message title is, what are you waiting for? God moves when you move. Come on. Joshua 3, we're going to read the whole chapter, Joshua 3, verse 1. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Achaia, a grove, and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before the crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. Here's the leadership telling them what to do, folks. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Purify yourselves. Why? For the move of God. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people over across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all of Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gishonites, the Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. The priest will carry the Ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zetharin. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the river bed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. And meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Hallelujah, God, right now, I feel your presence in this house, and God, I feel you want to speak to your people. God, let your will be done. Anoint your servant to speak your word. Help us, God, to receive the word from you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in a minute. Come on. You can be seated. There's an old song sung by the cathedrals that goes like this. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in water than his love. Anybody ever heard that? Well, this is a very interesting song because it goes in context with this scripture. After 40 years of wandering through the wilderness in pursuit of God's promise for a better life, listen, folks, God's people finally are going to get to cross into the promised land. And I just want to know, is there any apostolics here today waiting on the promises of God in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God wants wants to pour out his spirit like never before, folks. Hallelujah. But God is looking for a people that will do what he asked them to do. And God said, I want you to step into the water. Come on. See, they were to cross, hear me, the Jordan River during its flood stage, enter into the land of Canaan. Now, you might think this is not a whole lot different from the Israelites pass through the Red Sea. But, folks, it is, because when Moses parted the Red Sea, the winds blew all night, and there was a path through the Red Sea. In this case, God's leaders had to physically step into the water before the water stopped flowing. See, folks, God called upon the people to literally make a step of faith before he would deliver them. He wanted them. He wants us here today to display our trust in him, folks. And when the feet of the priest touched the water, the Bible says, stopped flowing and backed up approximately 17 miles upstream. Notice that the riverbed was instantly dry. God worked, but folks, first he demanded that the people take a step of faith. And before they experienced this mighty work in their lives, folks, hallelujah, I wonder how many times that God does not answer our prayers or does not cause or allow something to happen in our lives because he is simply waiting for us to take the first step of faith. Is there anybody that wants to do something for God today? Hallelujah. What is it that you dream of doing or being for God? What calling do you have for God for your life? What are you waiting for today? Are you waiting for the right time to step out, for the perfect conditions to act? Ecclesiastes 11:4. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watched every cloud, they never harvest. What are you waiting for today, faith to God? What are you waiting for? What is holding you back? James 2, verse 17, even so faith. What is that? Believing. If it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. One of the problems Christians don't realize today is they are God's hands, they are God's legs, they are God's mouth. We are the body of Christ. And until you believe, and until you act upon God's word, God will not move. As said many times in the world, you will believe it when you see it. You ever heard that? But with God, folks, you will see it when you believe it. Come on. Amen. With God, you will see it when you take that step, amen, of faith in your life. Amen. It doesn't look like, hey, maybe I ought to wait till the Jordan River goes down from the flood stage. I'm telling you, God said it's time to move. It's time to move. And if you want God to do something in your life, you need to take a step, folks. Hallelujah. I want to know, is there anybody today that will say, I'm going to step into the water? What are you waiting for? You see, folks, with God, you'll see it when you believe it and when you do what he tells you to do. It's just the opposite of what the world teaches, and that is just the norm. When you act upon God's word, then you will see God's results. Amen. You can't pray until you, folks, I'm telling you, you can get up here and you can pray till you're blue in the face. But unless you act on what you are praying about, nothing will happen. As the scripture says, believing without action is dead, worthless by itself. And again, God reiterates in James 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith or believing without works, which is actions, is dead. Amen? When God says something twice, he establishes the fact. In Galatians, or Genesis 41, verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Man's basic spiritual problem, folks, is the integrity and the accuracy of God's word. Amen. Man's basic spiritual problem. Hallelujah. Most people today do not even read the Bible, but put everything else before God. This is the modern day idolatry. It presents quite a problem in our lives. And how can man take action on something he hasn't even been aware of? This is the state that the world is in today, and it is getting worse and worse. Folks, we have been promised many great things by God if we adhere to and if we obey his word. First or 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby or by which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that getting worse, amen, and that is in the world through lust over desire. You see, because the world is getting worse, that should not affect our more life with God. Amen. It shouldn't affect our spiritual life with God. Amen. We should be drawing closer to God because the world is getting worse. If we are applying the word of God in our lives, folks, it is not enough just to believe. We must act. You talk to a lot of people, I believe in God. And we think just because they don't go to church and all that stuff, they're not saved. Okay, but folks, we believe in God, we go to church, but what else do? There's things and places that God wants to take each and every one of us here. And I'm saying, I think that we need to act upon things. Amen. And we need to start saying, God, I want to be a soul winner. Amen. And we need to start walking up to people and start talking to them. We need to walk over and get to know our neighbors. Amen. We need to start talking to our coworkers. Amen. God, touch this person. Put something on their heart. God, help us to get into a conversation where I can tell them about your love. Come on. So we have to apply these things in our life. You see, it's not enough just to believe. We must act. And then, when we do act, then God can move. Then you will see signs. Then you will see miracles. Then you will see wonders in your life and other people's lives, folks. As have I heard it said, we need to step into the water today, folks. Step into the water. We limit God greatly in our lives, folks, by our lack of believing and by our lack of action. I say today, stop limiting your God. Turn God loose in your life. Amen. Let God use you like you've never allowed him to use you before. Amen. Step into the water today and say, God, I am going to act upon the promises that you've made to me. I want to see God move, folks, but we have to get ourselves ready. Amen. If you weren't here in this class this morning, I ask you to please and go listen to the teaching this morning. I talked on being a servant, and I told the class, if we want to see Asbury, folks, we've got to set ourselves up for what God wants. Amen. And what God, he's not just going to dump that revival here and us not do anything. Doing a series on servanthood. Please listen to those things. Folks, we have to set ourselves up to be used of God. Amen. I told the class this morning, no mother starts having that child and doesn't get her rooms ready, doesn't get clothes ready, doesn't get everything ready for that child. I'm telling you, I want a revival, but we have to be good parents and say, God, as the mother church, as the church, your wife, we have to be ready for what you want to bring through these doors. There's going to need to be Bible studies taught. There's going to need to be friendship and relationships started. And it's got to happen through us. We have to be ready. Amen. What are you waiting on? Amen. God will act when we act. We limit God so greatly in our lives by the lack of believing, by the lack of action. So why don't we just stop? It is simple, folks. If you get honest with yourself, God gave us a free will. Hear me. God gave us a free will. What is that? It is the ability to act in whatever way we please. Matthew 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, why does God say that? Now, we could sit and say, well, why does God say that? I've been asking for this, and I've been asking for that, and I want him to do this. What are you doing? Come on. Folks, you must believe, and there are two sides to believing. There's a positive and a negative. On the positive side, you have confidence, you have trust, you have faith. Believing, right? On the negative side, you have doubt, you have worry, you have fear. Believing equals receiving. You cannot, hear me, you cannot believe on the positive side unless you study and apply God's word. The devil is now the god of this world. So he will bring you only doubt. He will bring you only fear. Amen. He will bring you only worry. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How, folks, are they going to get the light unless we take a step, amen, in that direction and shine the light of God, the God that saved us, the God that has healed us, the God that has healed our relationships, the God who delivered us from drugs, the God who delivered us from perversion. Hallelujah, shine the light on them. Come on, we got to do. If you are not studying and applying God's word, you are living for the devil. The devil will get all of the use out of you he can, folks, and then toss you aside and destroy you. You have everything to gain by studying and applying God's word, and you have nothing to lose. God's word is our blueprint for living. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of the man. Can you imagine that, folks? God put it any simpler. Keeping the commandments of God is the complete duty of man. Man has no other true alternative, with the exception of suffering every day, but to adhere to and become addicted to God's word, which is God's will. Amen? That is our blueprint for living. You see, when we do this, we can believe in a positive manner and therefore act in a positive manner, and then God can move as we move. If we speak God's word, God can plant seeds and he can move. If we are afraid to speak God's word, We limit God, and we also face, folks, we face negative consequences. The power that you speak is amazing. It's powerful. Whatever you speak, God spoke the world into existence. Come on. If we are afraid to speak his word, we limit him. And we also face negative consequences. And the only thing that will remove fear from a man or a woman's life is God's word. God is trying to help all of help us all, folks, all the time, while the devil is trying to destroy you. Amen. And I want you to understand today, your vote counts. What are you going to vote for? You going to live for God and let him bless you? Or are you going to vote to live for the devil and let him destroy you? Your vote counts today. You see, folks, your vote also determines the election. What do you choose to have in your life? When the priest came up to the flooding Jordan River, did they wait for the river to calm down? Did they wait for God to do his miracle first? What did they do? They stepped in the water, just like God told them. Amen? They stepped in. And only after that, only after they took action, did God live up to his part of the bargain. Come on, when we read about God telling us to tithe and give offerings, he said, I'll take the curse away. Well, God, I want you to take the curse away first. Sorry, it's my way or the highway. Come on. We have to do, God give us many promises throughout his word, all predicated on if you will do this, I will bless you. Is there anybody here who wants to see your family members saved? Then take action. Do you want to see your neighbor saved? Come on, anybody here want to see your neighbor saved? Well, about half of you. Anybody want to see your neighbors, your coworkers saved? Take action. Step into the water. You see, when they stepped in that water, then God began to do his part. And all the Israelites were able to cross safely on dry ground and eventually take the land that was promised to them. See, that's the thing, folks. That land was promised to them. But they still had to take action. They still had to step into the water. They still had to march toward the city. They still had to walk around Jericho and all the other places. They had to do their part. Don't think that your world, your mission field is going to be saved unless you take action. But none of this would have happened if the priest did not take the first step. God is asking us to be people that are willing to take the first step, folks. If you want to lose weight, you don't talk about dieting and hope that it happens. Now, I know you wish that's all it took. But you have to take steps to make it happen, right? In the same way, we have to be willing to take the first step and then watch God follow up on our willingness. If God is calling you to forgive someone, then take the first step. Don't wait for the feeling of forgiveness to come to you to decide to forgive. Start acting like toward them like they are forgiven and watch God do his magic. God certainly will bring about this forgiveness, but you've got to get the ball rolling. Amen? If you're stuck in depression, you need to decide to get out of it. Don't wait till you feel better, because that is not going to come on its own. You've got to decide, folks, to feel better. You've got to commit to this depression, stopping it here today, and then take action to get yourself out of it. Hallelujah. If you feel God calling you to give to the kingdom of God, don't wait for the money to come in before you do it. Take action, give, and watch God meet your needs. If you feel God wants you to change jobs, don't wait for the job to come looking for you. Go look for it. If you think God wants you to tell somebody about Jesus and teach them a Bible study, don't wait for them to talk to you. You go talk to them. Come on. Hallelujah. We've got to take action, folks. If you think you should read your Bible more, then don't wait until you feel like reading it more. Commit yourself to sitting down and reading it, and then let Him, let God put the desire in your heart. If you know something is right, then do something about it and watch God follow up on what you have started. God, folks, will part the river for you and make it so you can make it across, but you've got to be willing to take the first step. You see, you don't lose weight by talking about it. You lose weight by doing something about it. Come on, you can talk about it all you want. I believe diets work. Yeah, you look like you believe it. Come on. You don't draw closer to God by talking about it. Growing closer to God, you've got to start doing it. Commit yourself today to being a person of action, folks, not just a person of words. So whatever river standing before you today, take the first step of faith to stand. Whatever river, you know the river. And Pastor, that river, it's even swollen. It's flooding. Take that first step of faith. Step out of that pew. I told you, don't lose your worship spirit. Because God wants His people today in Church of Pentecost to take some action. God might have laid somebody on your heart to go pray for them, and you didn't want to do it earlier. You need to take steps toward doing it. Well, what if I'm out of the will of God? It'll never hurt you to pray for somebody. Come on. We will accept the craziest excuses sometimes. And we'll get upset at other people when they give us an excuse. They gave me the flimsiest excuse. It was ridiculous. Yeah, but what about what you receive and what you accept when God says to do this or do that? You think God says, like, why do you take that flimsy excuse? Whatever river is in front of you, take a step by getting out of your pew today and coming up here talking to God. If God has laid somebody in your heart, I want you to go to them and pray for them. Come on. Let's be bold today. Let's be what God wants us to be. And folks, we've all got things that we need God to touch and move in. Every one of us. If you really want God to do something about it today, I want you to take a step of faith. That says, I am going to, from here on out, God, I'm going to step into what you want me to do. Come on, this altar's open.